Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
UConn, the national championship, no surprise there. That was about the only thing that was correct with my bracket this season, but a great national championship game. I don't know, at least for a half, maybe more than a half, but UConn so dominant. And no surprise to see Coach Hurley and the Huskies win back-to-back championships. They are in the midst of becoming a dynasty in college basketball, back-to-back for the first time in a number of years. I think, since Florida, Billy Donovan's Florida teams, the last to do that, and was it 2006 and 2007, somewhere around there. But a big season for Connecticut, and a lot of interesting thoughts from the college basketball postseason and from the tournament. And of course, now with the season sadly over, it's all about transfer portal and recruiting. And right now in our area, Kentuckiana, probably the coaching carousel is the thing that everybody is following, with what's going on with John Calipari, and reportedly he is headed to Arkansas. So but a great finish to the season. Connecticut dominant. I think we got the best two teams in America in the national championship game last night. I know that some people think or wish that it had been Connecticut and Houston. And we saw a great battle of big men last night. But I tell you what, guards still dominate college basketball. Guards still dominate the game of basketball. The key last night, Connecticut outscored Purdue in the backcourt 55-17. That was basically the difference in the game. UConn huge in the backcourt last night as far as putting points on the board. So Connecticut wins it. The season is over. A lot of sadness today, and it's sad to think we got to wait till November to go through all this again. But there is nothing like March Madness. The NIT was so good this year because of Indiana State. I thought the tournament was really good from start to finish this year. The women's tournament was another added bonus. I mean, I've always paid attention to the women's tournament. Indiana has been there now for a number of years. I've always enjoyed the women's Final Four and national championship game, but it took on a whole new meaning this year, and it really made the madness of March and this time of year even more important, which was great to see. And I can't wait to see what happens next with women's college basketball. I do want to mention this. National champions in men's basketball since 1999. Connecticut has 6, leading the way. Duke and North Carolina are next with 3 each since 1999. Then with 2 each, you have Kansas, Villanova, and Florida. Of course, Florida's were back-to-back. Michigan State, Maryland, Syracuse, Kentucky, Louisville, Virginia, Baylor, they each have had 1 national championship since 1999. But that is an amazing stat. Connecticut with 6 national championships going back to 1999. Just an amazing clip of success for the Huskies program, going all the way back to Jim Calhoun. And I know last week we talked about Matt Painter and Gene Cady and Coach Cady getting recognized after the Elite Eight win, cutting down the nets. He got a big piece of the net, was out there with the team. It was also really good last night to see Coach Hurley. And I know some people really like him. Some people question some of the cockiness or maybe the arrogance that he has, but it was really good last night to see him spend some time with Coach Calhoun on the championship stage right at the middle of the court last night to wrap up the season, because this UConn deal, it all got started with Jim Calhoun. There's no question about that. But UConn has been really good. 6 championships since 1999. That is absolutely amazing. We can't talk about the end of the college basketball season without talking about what's transpiring down in Lexington right now. And it's been really interesting. Sunday night, word started to break. At first, it was some sources in Arkansas that, you know, we're not familiar with their newspaper and radio people down there like we are with the local people covering Indiana, Louisville, and Kentucky. So you see these tweets, and, you know, there's a lot of fake stuff on social media. Is it legit? Is this all made up that Calipari is really talking to Arkansas and maybe close to a deal with Arkansas? But Sunday night, it became apparent that it was legitimate. And there had been conversations, and there was a plan forward for Coach Calipari to exit Kentucky and go to Arkansas. We talked about it a lot on the show yesterday. It's been one of the dominant topics on this station and sports radio now for going on 42, 43 hours or so. But here's what's strange about the whole thing. There still has not been any formal announcement from Coach Cal or from Arkansas. And according to Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, who really is the go-to guy for a lot of Kentucky stuff, he tweeted out at 10:30 this morning that as of that time, Calipari still has not informed UK that he is going to resign the position, which technically for him to have discussions officially with other schools and athletic directors, it's required in his contract that he lets Kentucky know what is going on so they can then begin their process to start the hiring and to reach out to agents and coaches and figure out where they're at. So really interesting how this is playing out. Then we get video yesterday afternoon. I think it was just before the eclipse of Coach Calipari taking a leisurely stroll in Lexington, which is no big deal. I mean, people are entitled to get out, exercise, walk their dog, do whatever you want to do. It's your life. But he was on Richmond Road. And if you know anything about Lexington, Richmond Road would be, now there's a lot of homes. It's not really businesses in some places, but it would be like walking down Charlestown Road in New Albany, trying to not be seen by people locally. I mean, that's where you're going to be seen, period. So that said, I thought that was really interesting. The media, obviously, outside of his house, keeping a close eye on things. He had no comment, but we still haven't heard anything, even today. Maybe it'll happen here this afternoon. But again, you wonder what's going on, what's taking forever to make this official. And I get some time. It takes a while to get there and to make the official press conference, and you got to notify players and other people. But apparently there was a meeting at his house that was canceled yesterday with his team, and nothing has been scheduled yet for Arkansas's perspective as far as a press conference. So this is interesting, and it still seems like Cal is going to Arkansas. I'm not even sure at this point that Kentucky would take him back, to be quite honest, with where things are at. But going to be interesting. And I hope that he goes to Arkansas. I think it's going to be good for Cal, a fresh start. I think he can bring in players wherever he's at. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Kentucky does, because when Indiana has come open, when Louisville has come open, when any decent big job in college basketball comes open, Indiana fans, Louisville fans, we got to go after Brad Stevens. We got to go after Billy Donovan. We got to go after all these pie-in-the-sky names, and they haven't worked out. Then you drop down to guys that are at the top of the college game currently, like maybe a Scott Drew at Baylor. He turned down Indiana. He was not interested in Louisville. He re-upped with Baylor just a month or so ago. So Kentucky, obviously, they're going to shoot for some of the pie-in-the-sky guys. You would think that Billy Donovan with the Chicago Bulls, given his connection to Kentucky, would be one of their first calls. I think he would be an outstanding land if he would be willing to come back into college basketball. Danny Hurley from last night, he's at the top of the game. You've got to reach out to him, right? He kind of made some comments last night in some of the post-game interviews that indicated he's not interested in anywhere but UConn. And obviously you would expect a coach to say that. They just won a national championship and has a lot of celebration ahead with his team. But I think Kentucky has to reach out to Danny Hurley. I think that, you know, it's Brad Stevens in that group. But I don't know. I don't know that any of those top-tier guys, those pie-in-the-sky candidates, are going to choose Kentucky, just like they didn't choose Indiana, just like they didn't choose Louisville. And I'm saying Kentucky is a much better job right now than Indiana and Louisville. Absolutely, no question about that. The next level, Scott Drew, he just signed a big re-up with Baylor. Is he really interested? I know there's thoughts that him and Mitch Barnhart are connected from previous stops. I don't know. Nate Oates from Alabama is a hot name over the last couple of months. He put out a statement on Alabama basketball social media last night that despite any rumors that might be out there, he is fully committed to helping Alabama basketball win a national championship. So he is obviously off the board for Kentucky and for any job that might come open this go around, it seems. So could Kentucky maybe find themselves in a place where Indiana and most recently Louisville have found themselves, where they got to take a chance on a guy like Archie Miller or a former connection player like Mike Woodson, or where they have to go get a young, exciting, fresh name in college basketball that's had some success like a Pat Kelsey, which Louisville did just a few weeks ago? I think it's really interesting because I think most Kentucky fans think it's a done deal. Billy Donovan, Danny Hurley, one of those top guys is going to take this job. And maybe they do. Maybe it's done deal by the end of the week, but maybe they don't. And then maybe that second tier with Scott Drew and Nate Oates, maybe none of them take it. And then all of a sudden, Kentucky's in a very familiar position right now that a lot of great college basketball programs have been in, and that's trying to take a little bit of a chance, a little bit of a risk on a young and upcoming coach from mid-major college basketball. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out with this Cal situation, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out with the new hire, who the new face of Kentucky basketball will be. Show lineup today brought to you, as always, by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a moment, we'll have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A little bit later in the show, it's Tuesday, so Mike Schumann will join us. We'll talk last night's national championship game. We'll talk the future of Purdue basketball in the Big Ten. We'll talk IU and the portal and some names to know about, some visits that are forthcoming for Indiana. And then later in the show, we'll catch up on a few local things, a little high school baseball today on tap coming up later in the program. That's the lineup, a service of Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for great sandwiches and salads, also soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honeybaked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. What'd you think about the game last night? What'd you think about Purdue's performance last night? What do you think about the Cal situation, the Kentucky situation? I know Indiana fans, really the only connection to Kentucky is Boogie Fland and maybe the player Tyler, is it Perry, from Lyon County that won a state championship in Kentucky. If those guys don't follow him to Arkansas or don't stay at Kentucky, especially Boogie Fland, would he maybe come to Indiana? Indiana was a finalist for him in his recruitment. That will be interesting to see. But love to know your thoughts on everything going on right now. And you know what's coming. Way too early look at the Big Ten Conference and Indiana for next season. I know it's hard to do that with the transfer portal, but what are your early thoughts as we turn the page to the 2024-25 college basketball season, which is still a long way from now, but what are your expectations? What do you think is going to happen over the next month or two with Indiana from a transfer portal and recruiting situation as far as affecting the roster for next season? 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. It's classic comfort food with a kick at Thornton's, now featuring Mike's Hot Honey. Enjoy the deliciousness of sweet maple waffle, American cheese, crispy chicken, and Mike's Hot Honey. Your taste buds will thank you. Only at Thornton's. It's their new chicken and waffle breakfast burrito, available every a.m. at all participating Thornton's locations. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line number. A couple transfer portal notes as we get into our headlines today. Miles Rice, who I think is a very intriguing prospect. He's from Washington State. He is planning to visit Indiana. He's a guard. He's 6'2", from Georgia originally, is, again, at Washington State, and Indiana seems to be very, very involved with him. Auburn is one of the schools that is heavily involved with Rice, And it does seem that Indiana, though, has maybe as good a chance as anyone at this moment in his recruitment from the transfer portal. And then another player, and I had to go back and look him up because I really don't remember the name, but Pharrell Payne is his name. He's from Minnesota. He's a big man. He has scheduled a visit to Indiana coming up this weekend, April 12th, 13th, and 14th. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining, 6'9" forward. He is from, I believe he may be from Minnesota, but a big 6'9" player, averaged 10 points, 6.1 rebounds, and just about 1.5 blocks as a sophomore for Minnesota last season. So I vaguely remember him, had to look him up, but definitely someone that Indiana tracking right from within the Big Ten Conference. And then Aaron Bradshaw of Kentucky, 7'1". He announced yesterday his intention to enter the transfer portal. And as soon as he hit the portal, Indiana was in contact with him. So he's from Camden, New Jersey, averaged 4.9 points, 3.3 rebounds. Of course, the biggest name, though, with Kentucky is Boogie Flan. Indiana was in on him. The coaches were tight in his recruitment right there with him, and Kentucky got him, it seemed like, at the last moment in a final twist and turn of his recruitment. So I think he's the big name as this Coach Cal stuff unfolds and a coaching change officially takes place. We think we'll get word of that at some point later today. But Boogie Flan is the big name from Kentucky. But Aaron Bradshaw, 7'1", Indiana, and a lot of others are going to be very much interested in him as well. There's no question about that. Also, Connor Hickman. A couple people yesterday said, what's the deal with Connor Hickman? You had mentioned that Coach Woodson and the staff had an in-home visit with him, and it looks like he is going to visit Indiana on April 14th, according to 247 Sports. Hickman is 6'3", 200 pounds, a great shooter from Bradley of the Missouri Valley Conference. He averaged 14.5 points last season and would be, I think, a great addition to Indiana for next year. But that's kind of the latest, a quick summary of things from the transfer portal. Kellel Ware headed to the NBA draft. It's a weak draft, according to all the early thoughts out there from some of the draft prognosticators that have their mock drafts early coming out. ESPN, Jonathan Givony, Jeremy Wu, they have Kellel at number 26 in the draft. Bleacher Report has Kellel Ware at number 18. The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor's mock draft, they have Kellel Ware at number 22. The highest I saw was SB Nation. They have Kellel Ware going at number 11. CBS Sports, Kyle Boone, they don't have Kellel Ware in the first round. So he's all over the place. A lot of workouts, a lot of things ahead for him between now and the draft. It does seem like a draft where someone like him with the right workouts could really move up the board based on his progress this past season, because it is not an outstanding draft. There is not lottery picks from, 1 to 12, 1 to 13 that are almost locks that you know are going to be good NBA players, have a chance to be good NBA players. Much different feel this year with the NBA draft. So we'll see how Kellel Ware does in the build-up to the draft. It's going to be interesting to see ultimately where he lands given what the rest of the field looks like this year. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Yesterday we mentioned that a really important guy with Jeffersonville baseball and also football over the years, Jimmy Cardwell, we called him Table. He passed away. He had been battling a disease and knew at some point probably going to lose him, but you hate to get that word that such an important guy in the Red Devil sports community has passed. And I heard from a lot of people over the weekend and yesterday about Coach Cardwell and just kind of sharing some memories of him. He was an assistant coach with the baseball program for years under Coach Ellis. And, of course, we know how good Jeff Baseball has been now, going back a number of years. But before that, he helped with football, and he was always involved in some sort of youth and high school sports in the Jeffersonville community. And he was such a fun guy to catch up with when we get set up for our broadcast of Jeff baseball games over the years, including a lot of the big tournament games. He was always willing to share some good information about the Devils or the opposing team to help our broadcast. Just a great guy to catch up with And he just was in the right spot when he was in the dugout or on Jeffersonville High School's athletic campus. It just fit Table and Coach Cardwell. But Isaac Parker, former Jeff football coach, who obviously has been very involved in Jeff football and the Jeff athletic community, both as a coach and going back to his time as a player, even at the school. He sent along a really great text about Coach Cardwell, and I thought we would share it today as a tribute to Coach Table, as we always referred to him. Coach Parker said, in 1995, I met Coach Cardwell as I began my freshman year at Jeffersonville High School. He was my position coach, so I spent the majority of my time with him. Over the next 4 years, I grew to love Coach Cardwell. He was firm, held us to a standard, and never hesitated to be direct. He loved us in his way, and it was obvious. As I finished my college career and began coaching, my path crossed with Coach Cardwell again, and we picked up where we left off. Over the next 20 seasons, I coached against Coach Cardwell, with him as an assistant at River Valley and at Jeffersonville, and he coached me for many years during my time as the head coach at Jeffersonville. But my favorite was watching my son over the last few years join the fraternity of men who learned from and were loved by Coach Jimmy Cardwell. Coach Cardwell is the epitome of success, as he was on staff for 4 of the 5 Red Pride football sectional championships. He is the winningest assistant coach in Jeffersonville High School history, and he impacted the lives of hundreds of families in Jeffersonville. Over the weekend, we all lost a legend. Those who played for him lost a great mentor and coach for life, and my son and I lost a friend. The Parker family's prayers were with the Cardwell family, especially his wife, kids, and his brother. I love you, Coach, and I know football just got better in heaven. I thought that was an outstanding tribute from former Jeffersonville football coach Isaac Parker, who obviously has had basically a lifelong connection with Jimmy Cardwell. But one of the great guys in high school sports. We've got a lot of them locally, and unfortunately, we've lost a lot of them in recent years. And Coach Jimmy Table Cardwell, one of the great legends of Jeffersonville sports, Coach Cardwell will be missed. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier. We'll get into last night's national championship game, IU and the transfer portal, and a lot more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday edition of the show. I just saw some tweets out there from Jeff Goodman and Matt Norlander, two of the national college basketball analysts that keep up with everything, and both, I guess you could say, reporting that they don't expect Billy Donovan to be a candidate or the next coach at Kentucky. Obviously, his involvement as the head coach of the Bulls, they're in the middle of a playoff run, and he's turned down Kentucky in the past. So that's maybe another, I don't want to say blow to the early search that maybe even hasn't officially begun yet for Kentucky basketball, but it's going to be interesting the next few weeks to see how this all plays out. Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier is with us now for his regular spot on Tuesdays. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Mike, there's a lot to unpack, not at least directly related to Indiana, so we'll start with that stuff. Your reaction to Connecticut and back-to-back national championships and Purdue coming up short in a battle of the big men that we all were so excited for, it really came down to the success of UConn's guards that were able to create the distance between the Huskies and the Boilers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the first time all season where I've seen a big man be good enough to at least mitigate Edie a little bit. He obviously still put up big numbers, you know, although I think a lot of his points came in the last 8 minutes when Connecticut was conceding things a little bit more in the post, trying to give up twos and not threes. But I think just the fact that they were able to guard Edie one-on-one really changed the game, because that allowed Connecticut to not leave Purdue shooters. And, if you can guard Edie one-on-one, keep him in the 50% range from an efficiency standpoint, I think you have a good shot. But really nobody else had ever been able to do that with any degree of success throughout his career. So this was like the one kind of nemesis that Edie and Purdue ran into at obviously for them the worst possible time. But Connecticut was clearly the best team in the country. They proved that, throughout the season, and proved it definitively last night.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, our guest. Where do you rank this Connecticut team of college basketball, maybe going back to 2000 or so? Where do you rank them as far as this two-year run that they're on, back-to-back championships, and the dominance that they had throughout every step of the tournament this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's really special, especially in this era of, transfer portaling and everything else crazy that's going on. And they had to deal with it during the offseason. They added some key pieces from the portal and really proved that, that's what it's all about. It's about having a system. It's about having a culture. And it's about, not just picking up pieces out of the portal, but really, addressing needs and finding strategic fits to maintain, obviously not everybody's going to maintain that level of play, but to maintain a high level of play year after year, you really have to make sure that the guys you're getting on a limited number of openings on your roster are the exact kind of people that you need culturally and from a skill perspective. And I think that they did that. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I think you said go back to 2000. I mean, the only corollary there is really Florida's repeat. I think that was, 2006-07. And they were a little bit different in my mind, because they pretty much brought everybody back that second year. I remember thinking that was probably the most, I think that might be the only time I ever got a champion right in my bracket, because it was just the most easy to predict repeat out there. They were dominant in the first year, and they brought everybody back and did it again. This one is kind of the first of the new portal NIL area, where somebody's had to, at least – make some changes and address some key needs. And I think Connecticut did that, perfectly during the offseason.
Mike Schumann, Daily Hoosier. You can read the website, thedailyhoosier.com, and follow Mike on social media at @daily_Hoosier for all of his IU coverage. Mike, the Kentucky situation, I want to at least briefly address that here. Texter on the Thornton's text line says, if Kentucky doesn't go after Pitino, they are crazy. He will finish the dynasty he began there before he went pro. I don't know. I think Pitino's one of the best in the game, maybe one of the best all time. A little old maybe to make a switch to Kentucky and have enough time to build it at the level I'm sure he would like. But what's going on at Kentucky right now? Calipari rumors, leaks on Sunday night became pretty credible reports overnight, Sunday later in the night, that he is going to Arkansas. But as of 10:30 this morning, he hadn't notified the school. There had been no formal announcement from Arkansas, nothing from Calipari. Just a strange situation to watch from afar.
Yeah, it is strange from that standpoint that there's nothing confirmed or, nothing definitive out there yet. You have, as you mentioned on your open, you got national media accounts really already talking about the next guy, and like the search is underway. And it's not my beat. It's not my thing to follow, so I can't tell you exactly what's going on. But, the thing that really struck me is those initial reports on Sunday talking about Calipari's relationship with the big Arkansas boosters, which kind of, struck me as like, this kind of felt like it's been going on for a while. It's like it didn't just happen Sunday night. There's long-term relationships there. I think there's a recognition that in this era, as long as NIL is what it is now, and that's basically, who's got the most motivated and wealthy boosters, if you want to succeed, that's an element of it. And so you know, it's kind of seems like Calipari's recognizing that, you know, he's got that relationship at Arkansas and that might be a better situation for him to succeed in the modern game. I don't know. It's pure speculation on my part, but that's certainly what stood out to me when I saw the news break, and I couldn't tell you why it's kind of lagging here over the last couple of days. Obviously, he's got a unique contract at Kentucky that may be factoring into it. I'm not sure, but I can't remember or think of a time when things have gone this far down a path and turned out to be, you know, not true or reversed somehow. So you got to believe it's just a matter of time before that news formally breaks. And in the meantime, we're already kind of counting people off the list of who's going to replace him at Kentucky.
Talking with Mike Schumann. Mike, before we get into some IU stuff, who are candidates in your estimation for this Kentucky job? And can UK reel in candidates that Indiana fans and Louisville fans have wanted for their respective jobs but have not been able to get the job done or create the interest for?
Yeah, I mean, I one of the first names I thought of, you already mentioned, would be Pitino. You know, you mentioned the reasons why it may not make sense, but it would be such a fascinating story just for him to come full circle and for that to be his final stop in his career and find out if he could kind of reignite the magic that he had there a long time ago. That would certainly be fun, and I would certainly think that would be at least someone that is being considered. The other name that people keep mentioning that has a lot of prominence right now is Scott Drew at Baylor. I have no idea if that has any muscle behind it when Indiana's come up in the context of Scott Drew in the past. The thing people always said is, you know, he built Baylor from scratch. He's really happy there. He's got facilities. He's got support. He's not kind of in the bubble, so to speak, and so it might be hard to pull him out of there. I don't know if Kentucky people would know better than me if he's got any special affinity for Kentucky that would make it different. Obviously, I'm sure they can pay more than Baylor, so that might make it different too. But you know, that seems to be one of the top names. The other name that jumped out to me immediately was Nate Oates at Alabama, and he seems to at least publicly have already shot that down, as did Dan Hurley yesterday, and that one didn't surprise me. I would be stunned if Hurley would move from UConn to Kentucky with everything that he's got going there right now. So it'll be interesting. You know, everybody saw what happened with Louisville. It's one of those things where you start cycling through some names real fast, and then it becomes stressful for everybody involved. I don't think Kentucky's there yet, but it could happen pretty quickly. You know, and there could be Big Ten implications as well. I've heard Brad Underwood's name mentioned on people's list as well. So always fun. It was fascinating that it dropped the day before the national championship. If it had happened a day earlier, I guess Hurley would have had to have dealt with questions about it as he prepared for the national championship game. So at least from that standpoint, it was late enough in the cycle that he didn't have to talk about it until after the game last night.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, is my guest. Mike, I touched on this yesterday with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, but I want to bring it up again. How does Purdue's success, I mean, they've been good now for a number of seasons, really good, top of the best in the country, number one, number two, number three, wherever you want to put them in the AP poll, they've been that good with their run to the tournament and getting to the national championship game and reaching the Final Four. Does this increase any pressure or expectations for the IU program and for Mike Woodson, who already is facing a really important year number four ahead, kind of a make or break year, I think everybody understands and agrees going into it?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's not one of those things you can really measure in any tangible way, but it's, you know, anytime your rival is having the degree of success Purdue's had over the last few years, it just increases the noise. There's no doubt in my mind that a lot of the frustration and noise that we heard in connection to Woodson this year had at least a indirect line to West Lafayette, you know, that not to mention the fact that they lost to them by, you know, 20 points or more in both games. But just all the success that they're experiencing up there over the last few years compared to what's going on in Indiana, I think definitely weighed in. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to ultimately make a decision on moving forward with a coach based on what your rival's doing, but it's not a helpful situation. And I think maybe helps at least on the margin to explain why, you know, two respectable seasons from Woodson followed by a down season generated so much frustration amongst Indiana fans. I think it's at least part of the conversation.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, with us. Mike, I actually want to transition to some football stuff as we close out our conversation today. IU football with a commitment of interest earlier this week. LeBron Bond is his name, a wide receiver from Virginia. Before we talk about spring practices and Coach Cignetti and a spring game, which will be here before you know it, how is recruiting going for this new IU football staff?
I mean, it's the actual commits don't jump out as like, wow, we've seen a sea change here with the type of players that Indiana's getting. It's still the same kind of, you know, mainly three-star type players, you know, with a list of offers of power four schools that are similar to Indiana and, you know, some group of five types that you've seen in the past that Indiana's recruited against. Now, obviously, you know, we've all come to realize that, you know, rankings and things like that for recruiting is not really nearly as important as evaluation, especially in football when there's just so many players to choose from. So it's really hard to know the job that the staff is doing until you see the product on the field. I mean, the number of two- and three-star recruits that end up in the NFL is pretty impressive, and it's just a question of whether or not this group of coaches, you know, is picking the right guys amongst that group. And, you know, you hear them mentioned from time to time, you know, with like a five-star quarterback, Julian Lewis out of Georgia. You know, there's been some other, you know, players that they're at least getting some traction with that you wouldn't expect Indiana to historically. But you don't know at this point how real that stuff is and if they have a real chance to land them. I mean, obviously, you know, the Cignetti, Shanahan, Sinceri trio has been really great with quarterbacks and receivers during their time together as a staff. And I think that's generating a lot of, you know, as I said, traction with some impressive guys. But you know, until they beat out the likes of, you know, Alabama and others, you know, I think it's maybe one of those things that's fun to talk about, but we'll see where it goes. But again, I think it all comes down to evaluating the right guys and developing them within a program. I think that's what's made Cignetti special throughout his you know, highly successful coaching career. And it's just going to be a while until we see that manifest in Bloomington.
Mike, I'm reading a tweet from Zach Osterman that was put out just before we came on the air today. Cignetti, talking to the media, he said that too many of his players, quote, came out like the old Indiana, end quote, in practice on Tuesday. To me, that signals that I know Coach Cignetti's talked about a lot of change in the way business is being done with IU football. To me, that shows that there's been good moments and maybe some rough moments like today's practice for IU football so far under his leadership.
Yeah, I think it, you know, I wasn't there. Seth Tao, my colleague for the Daily Hoosier, was at that press conference this morning, but I did see the quote as well, and it struck me. You know, he's a guy that comes, as everybody knows, comes from the Nick Saban model at Alabama, coached under him for a lot of years, and one of the things that really made Saban who he is, you know, just a rejection of complacency, which is easy to do, especially at a program like Alabama, but everybody to some degree gets complacent with success or, you know, their perception of where they're at on the depth chart and things like that. And Cignetti talks about that a lot. So I think he's probably, you know, reaching a point here where he knows his players and he knows that he has to kind of get under their skin a little bit and start pushing some buttons. And that's what that quote struck me as today. I think, you know, a couple of weeks of spring practice has probably been enough that he knows he's got to start pushing some buttons with these guys and start separating people as they kind of distill the depth chart and move forward to the spring game and another transfer portal cycle here for college football as well, starting May 1st.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, with us Tuesdays on the show. Mike, as always, thanks for being with us throughout the basketball season. And really, each week here on the show, we look forward to continuing our conversations this off season, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Okay, Matt. Look forward to it.
All right. Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, thedailyhoosier.com, @daily_Hoosier on Twitter. You can find him here on Tuesdays. Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. It was great to be out at Valley View Golf Club yesterday. They had a wonderful event for the Eclipse, a fun event. Great to do the show there. Weather was great. Course looks beautiful. Great partners of the Big X. Fun to set up and do the show live and on location from Valley View always. Also, a programming note to pass along before we go to break. Because of Bats baseball tomorrow, you know we are the official station of the Louisville Bats. They have a day game tomorrow with action beginning sometime in the 11 a.m. hour. We do not have a show tomorrow, so I will be back with you Thursday here on the Big X. But we'll head to a commercial break. We're back with one final segment here on this Tuesday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Tuesday show. A little bit of news here just out a few minutes ago. Indiana State player Ryan Conwell from Indianapolis Pike, who was a big part of the Sycamores' big run through the NIT to the championship game, and obviously a big part of their wonderful season. He's entered the transfer portal with Josh Schertz, the coach there, headed to St. Louis. And we'll see where his future home is. Does Indiana get involved with him? Does he follow Schertz to St. Louis? But he definitely is someone that I think we'll hear from high major schools across the country. He had a great, great season for Indiana State as the NIT runner-up. I want to read this tweet to you. Somebody sent this to me on the text line. I don't know who the tweeter is. I don't think it's a member of the media or anyone special. But this is a great tweet. On Dan Hurley and UConn. It says, quote, "Hurley's willingness to reimagine his offense the last 2 years, combined with his willingness to continue working on himself as a human being, are what took UConn from good to great. That ability to evolve tactically and psychologically is so rare among high-level coaches." And I saw a number of IU media folks have tweeted that. IU fans have retweeted that. And it's just kind of a reminder that in this new world of college basketball, you got to be on your toes. You've got to be willing to make adjustments and changes, both in the way you recruit, the type of players you recruit, and really how your team may look and the style they may play from year to year. Having a style or a certain offense or a certain way of doing things in this new age of college basketball each and every year really generally isn't possible. You've got to be willing to change and adjust. And maybe some people thinking of Coach Woodson with that. Could he use a little bit more adjustments on things, or maybe some modern offense is a word that we hear a lot about from Indiana fans. But Coach Hurley, definitely after building something great at Connecticut to win the first championship, he went back to the drawing board. His team looked a lot different this season. There were some characteristics, I'm sure, of Coach Hurley basketball that he's picked up over the years from his own learnings and from his family that he's always going to want to uphold if he can. But he came back and did it again with a lot of new pieces and a lot of new faces. And it wasn't like it was a UConn team that simply just won back-to-back championships with the same crew. They had to go back to the drawing board and utilize the transfer portal in a pretty big way. And for them to do that and win again with a little bit different style and a lot of different faces, pretty impressive on the leadership of Coach Hurley and his staff. Regardless of what you think of him or some of his press conferences or his sideline antics, I know he's crazy acting, crazy looking on the sideline. I saw a lot of that during the game last night. I get it. But kudos to him on what he's built at Connecticut or continued and taken to another level at Connecticut might be the best way to say that. But also for just being flexible and making big adjustments from a championship last year to give himself, his team, his program a chance at a championship this year. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday show. Back Thursday, no show tomorrow due to Bats baseball. Pregame on that begins around 10:30 and the game shortly after that. So we'll have no Hoosier report tomorrow. We will be back on Thursday with Alex Bozich and Steve Kerberg. We'll be talking basketball and football into the offseason. Lots to keep up with, recruiting and transfer portal and the coaching carousel. Very interesting stuff. And you wonder, a year from now, will Mike Woodson have had a good year four, a building year four, and with positive momentum again, NCAA tournament appearance again by the Hoosiers? Or could Indiana be in the middle of the coaching carousel next offseason? Who knows? We'll head to a that wraps up the show, and we'll be back Thursday with no show on Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.